Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Welcome back, and that is the sound of rock cracking right here on Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday, better known as Doc Holliday on this show, and you're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. Happy New Year! Has yours been happy so far? It's been cold across America, and just wait, at the end of the show, we're going to bring back our Tombstone of the Week Award. And we're going to talk about something in Antarctica, if you have not heard the news. But we're going to get that at the end of the show, so don't you go too soon. Wait till you hear the story at the end. We're reviving this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. Just before that, we're going to have our unaffordable, uncaring act update. We're going to update you something on something you probably haven't heard. And now, let me tell you that today's show, we're going to look on the war on poverty with what President Lyndon Baines Johnson started, LBJ started 50 years ago, 1964. So we're going to take a look at that. But we got some good clips about the former Defense Secretary, Robert Gates. And we may have to mention something about Chris Christie. You know, he had his little controversy about some bridge problems there in New Jersey. So let's kick off this show with a little visual image. Let me get you to think about Chris Christie standing on a bridge from New Jersey to New York, about halfway. And let's see who would, if he is the leading Republican contender for the nomination in 2016, now who would be the Democrat leader? Who could be the leader of the Democrats to get the nomination in 2016? Oh, yeah, I forgot. Hillary Clinton. Well, just imagine, put this in your mind's eye, imagine Chris Christie standing on the bridge between New York and New Jersey and grabbing a microphone and singing this right to Hillary Clinton from the Guess Who. Well, I hope that sort of shook the cobwebs out of your brain, getting that visual image of Chris Christie and Hillary Clinton and American Woman being sung by the Guess Who. If you're cold on this January day, I hope that sort of got your blood warmed up and got your thinking cap on, because we got some thinking to do on this show. We're going to be talking about some important things, and we'll start out with our part about the former Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates. Let's get that rolling right now. For those who don't remember or don't realize who Bob Gates was, he was put into the Secretary of Defense position after Donald Rumsfeld was fired and or asked to resign in 2006. I believe it was right after the Democrats smoked the Republicans in the midterm elections. But we did have Rumsfeld out, and Robert Gates came in. He'd been head of CIA. He'd been part of administrations from the Nixon administration all the way through, except for the Clinton administration. But he's in George W. Bush's administration as Secretary of Defense, came in and took over a situation that was not really going that well. And when Robert Gates was asked to stay on by President Obama, then he stayed on the first 2 years of President Obama's administration. And he is not your run-of-the-mill Washington politician by any means, not a politician. but he's an inside wonk that knows the defense, knows the CIA, and he knows the inside workings from the Cold War on. So his book is going to give us a good inside look at what was going on in the Obama administration. And I'm going to play a clip. This is what the White House, because a lot of the liberals are shocked by what Robert Gates is saying, conservatives really are not. But this is what the White House put the spin on, and let's see, take a listen to the White House spokesman, Mr. Carney, right here.
When it comes to the internal interagency process, the president expects it to be robust, and he expects to hear competing points of view from every member of his national security team. A lot of you wrote about or talked about at the time that the president picked a team of rivals. And when you pick a team of rivals, you do so in part because you expect competing points of view and competing opinions. And that's very much what the president expects in foreign policy and domestic policy, and that's what he gets.
Now, coming from the White House, doesn't that just sound, it sounds Jim Dandy, doesn't it? And wow, our president is like the team of rivals. And that was a book about the Abraham Lincoln administration, where he took diverse opinions and put them all in his cabinet. Now, I will say President Obama did keep Robert Gates, Bob Gates, on as Secretary of Defense to get some continuity in the war effort. When George W. Bush was leaving and the new President Barack Obama was coming in. But you just, when I hear Carney talk about the team of rivals, basically he used that, I'm sure they studied up on that term in the book, and wanted to, in a subconscious way, say President Obama is just like President Lincoln. And that was what Carney was trying to get across in talking about diverse opinion in his cabinet. Now, Lincoln had real diverse opinion. He had Democrats in there. He had, and I'm telling you that this was no big diverse opinion of Robert Gates. People were going to respect him. But Robert Gates did say a lot that diminishes what people think about President Obama now. And let's listen to what George Will had to say. And he gives you a little more input on Bob Gates. So this is what George Will had to say about the book coming out by Bob Gates.
It's creating quite a stir here in Washington.
Well, Bob Gates is one of the great public figures of the last 50 years. He may not be a great author because he seems to have produced a somewhat schizophrenic book. Judging by the excerpts, which are ample at this point, he says the president is failing to lead but has made in the decision to go after bin Laden one of the most courageous decisions, I guess the most courageous decision that he, Gates, has seen in the White House, and he served every president from Nixon to this one with the exception of Clinton. It's a clash of cultures in a way. He's a national security lifer. He's a cold warrior who will tell you with a smile that he was, when the Russians were occupying Afghanistan, he was sending Stinger missiles into the people who are now fighting. He's been around forever, and there's just, I think, a clash of cultures with the community organizers from Chicago.
Now, George Will was telling you more about Bob Gates and talking about his book being schizophrenic. He did want Gates to probably come out more of a flowable book, and Will is a great writer, and I'm sure he enjoyed reading for the what was in the book, maybe not the way it was all put together. But George Will was telling us that Robert Gates didn't fit with all the community organizers' picks. So the team of rivals I mentioned to, like Carney from the White House, press secretary, was talking about a team of rivals. Gates was probably on his own. It's pretty much what George Will was pointing out against all the community organizers from Chicago. But now, this next segment is Ralph Peters, an author and a Fox News strategic analyst, talking about what he saw in this book by Robert Gates. Take a listen to Ralph Peters here.
And it's a disconnect because Gates is clearly wrestling with himself on this. He says at one point that while President Obama always supported the troops, he didn't support the mission in Afghanistan. That makes no sense. If our president sent our troops, tripled down in Afghanistan, and never believed in the mission, never believed it could work, but for the last 5 years has allowed our soldiers and Marines and Navy corpsmen to be killed or maimed in a war the president doesn't believe makes sense or that he doesn't believe he can win, that is as low as any president in our history has gone.
Wow. Now, that's Ralph Peters, an author. Then he was telling us as low as any president in history. Not supporting troops or not supporting a plan. Now, I think everybody made plain that President Obama supported the troops, but he didn't like the plan, didn't really support his own plan. And why we have men and women dying in Afghanistan for 5 years if he didn't really support the plan. And that's what Ralph Peters was trying to get across. So the bottom line of what you need to know before the book comes out, of course, it'll be coming out soon. I'm sure we'll see more about Robert Gates and more talked about. But the bottom line is we got somebody in Robert Gates who knows Washington and is actually telling the truth and coming out and telling some things that need to be said, even though it may make his former commander-in-chief when he was working in administration look not as bright as some people portray him to look. So interesting concepts. We'll keep watching that. And that leads us into the next story, because with Robert Gates hammering on the door of the White House and President Obama's administration, guess what? The left-wing media has found some salvation, some reprieve from all the negative of Obamacare, of the negatives from coming out of this administration and all the woes. They found something in New Jersey. What did they find in New Jersey? The New Jersey bridge controversy. Wow, we won't get enough of this. I've already had enough. It's about Chris Christie. But you can believe the left-wing media, they try to put out the fires in Benghazi, put out the fires about the IRS scandals, any scandal. They've been trying to put it out and don't bring it up. But this New Jersey bridge scandal, look for every reporter that to be going digging through emails and looking. And for those who don't understand what went on, it's just a New Jersey bridge controversy. It's one of the bridges that connects New Jersey to New York. Well, they a very highly traveled bridge, but supposedly that's what the press is allegedly trying to say. Somebody in Chris Christie's administration, and implying that Chris Christie, tough guy Chris Christie, said shut the bridge down in that town because the mayor's not for Chris Christie for governor. Now, did that happen? Well, believe me, it's going to be played out over and over again, because this is gleefully, the press is going after what some consider the front runner of the Republicans in 2016. You can see every major paper and every major television station will put story after story, and it won't die down, I'm afraid. It should, what kind of controversy it is, but it will keep going and going, whereas Benghazi was shut down. We still don't know what happened in Benghazi. We still don't know what the president did the night of Benghazi. Nobody will tell us. The White House won't tell us. And they act like, well, let's move on. Let's go to another story. And they'll have more reporters digging into something about a bridge controversy, because a bridge was shut down for a few hours and it did make people's lives miserable. We're talking about in Benghazi, 4 Americans died. An American ambassador was murdered. And we've sent all these reporters in New Jersey to talk about the New Jersey bridge controversy. We just called Chris Christie is the governor there, and people died in Benghazi, and we still don't have answers. And they act, you know, how many reporters are covering Benghazi? How many? So those are the things that really rock the boat when you talk about the mainstream media, the lapdog media. And we told you before, I think George Will called them the poodle dogs. You know, they sit in the lap of the White House, and all they do, it's becoming more and more with the left-wing mainstream media, is a cheerleader for the Democratic Party. They cover anything that will draw blood on Republicans and run for anything that might put the Democratic talking points in a bad way. But I just have to point that out, and I hope we can demand more. And I hope this controversy will go away because it's not a big story when you compare it to Benghazi. But we'll find out. We're going to find out way too much, I'm sure. Now, we are getting ready for the second half of the show where I told you we're going to talk some about the war on poverty. And saying that, I have to remind you, we have something about global warming that will be on this week's special Tombstone of the Week Award. And right now, Rock Splitting Politics on www.webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Ed Holiday. You're listening to us in the middle of January as we're kicking off 2014, reminding you, you'll hear things here you won't hear anywhere else. And if you didn't hear my predictions last week, go back to last week's show, 7 Political Predictions. I tell you a story about Farmer Obama and a two-headed turkey, a story you will not hear anywhere else. It's on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics as we kicked off the new year last week. So go back and listen to that show if you didn't get a chance to. And let me tell you, still order the book, Rock Splitting Politics. It's more than just a radio show. You can order the book, go to my website, order that book, and got a good book called Walk With Me about the rise of the Tea Party. Another book called 21st Century Great Awakening, more on a religious tone, but it's a book, three books I've done in the past few years, along with some essays that you can get there on my website. So just go to the front page, click on there. We're glad to have new listeners. Thank you for tuning in. Tell your friends and neighbors. That's why we're growing, because of people like you. Go to our Facebook page. It's a new thing here we're trying to do is get people on our Facebook page. We can't get all the stories. I try to get a couple of good stories on there during the week. So go there, like us on Facebook. And just to let you know, you can be thinking about me as you're hearing this, because I'll be in California middle of the month in January, meeting with some conservatives out there and seeing how we can get this nation turned around. Good news that you can use for 2014, because we are going to make a difference. You and me and people around this country working together, we're going to make a big difference. America, this is an important year, and that's why you need to stay tuned to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, second half of the show, right after this.
I would like to caution you and remind you that to exercise these privileges takes much more than just legal right. It requires a trained mind and a healthy body. It requires a decent home and the chance to find a job and the opportunity to escape from the clutches of poverty. Of course, people cannot contribute to the nation if they are never taught to read or write, if their bodies are stunted from hunger, if their sickness goes untended, if their life is spent in hopeless poverty, just drawing a welfare check. So we want to open the gates to opportunity. But we're also going to give all our people, black and white, the help that they need to walk through those gates.
Now that's, for those who don't know, that's President Lyndon Baines Johnson, LBJ, speaking, 65, I believe. And he was starting a war on poverty. Now, as a conservative, right here on Rock Splitting Politics, where you hear a lot of conservative commentary, I am not going to knock what President LBJ just told us. We know poverty is crippling, and poverty is not good for anybody. Think that what happened with LBJ working, and he did work with many Republicans, but they passed these bills and laws to knock out poverty. What we got to do is remember what Einstein said. You don't keep doing the same thing over and over and over and expect different results. He said that's insanity. And that's the same thing. We're 50 years since this war on poverty, and we still have a high number of poverty, and the percentage has gone down just a little. And I think they say 20 trillion dollars. Let me let you listen a little bit more of LBJ, because this is historic. This is him. He's going to tell you a personal story. They don't have time to put it on television shows and clips, but I want you to hear this personal story that President LBJ tells, and then we're going to talk about this war on poverty.
My first job after college was as a teacher in Cotulla, Texas, in a small Mexican-American school. Few of them could speak English, and I couldn't speak much Spanish. My students were poor, and they often came to class without breakfast, hungry. And they knew, even in their youth, the pain of prejudice. They never seemed to know why people disliked them. They knew it was so, because I saw it in their eyes. I often walked home late in the afternoon after the classes were finished, wishing there was more that I could do. But all I knew was to teach them the little that I knew, hoping that it might help them against the hardships that lay ahead. And somehow you never forget what poverty and hatred can do when you see its scars on the hopeful face of a young child. I never thought then in 1928 that I would be standing here in 1965. It never even occurred to me in my fondest dreams that I might have the chance to help the sons and daughters of those students and to help people like them all over this country. But now I do have that chance. And I'll let you in on a secret. I mean to use it.
That was 50 years ago. The war on poverty started. And you want me, as a conservative, as does not like government overspending and taxing, do you want me to hate LBJ for what he did? No. I grew up in Mississippi. I live in Mississippi. And many of the government programs started by LBJ has helped my state. I've seen it helped. It has helped many people in many areas. Has it been overgrown? Absolutely. But I have to tell you that the war on poverty was not a total failure. What the failure is now today is because, let's take one word, let's say compassion. Compassion comes from the heart. I have compassion. You have compassion. If you're human, you see things and you have compassion. But what does compassion mean to a politician? I've heard politician, just like LBJ telling that story, you're glad that you're able to help someone, but who's doing the helping? Compassion comes from the heart when you do something, when it pulls you, when you see a need and it pulls you to do something. And the trouble with the liberal mindset is compassion morphs into the desire for control and power, control over other people's money and power to hand it out to your crony capitalist, your cronies that you like, your crony people that surround you. And that is what has ruined the war on poverty. The generals and the officers got all the money, not all of it, but they created bureaucracies and seats of power where they had their own fiefdoms, and they were in charge of the fiefdoms. And from generation, from decade to decade, it's changed, it's twisted, it's turned. And today, we got so many programs, so complex, it's just become a monstrosity that the war on poverty, we're losing it. Yes, we're losing it because it's made a dent in poverty. And I said, I grew up in Mississippi. I live in Mississippi. And I see where a lot of the programs have helped uplift many Mississippians. The trouble is we still have so many people in poverty. A situation where for some reason, people are not getting out of poverty into the middle class. In fact, since President Obama has been in office, we've got more people going into poverty, more people needing food stamps, more people needing Medicaid, and more people needing cell phones, by the way. There's something wrong when people want to go back, and compassion becomes more than compassion for people. It becomes a desire for control of other people's money, and it becomes the desire for more power. And that's what's happening in Washington, D.C. That's why that area did not suffer recession, because it's increased more and more population all around the D.C. area because there's more and more jobs. So the war on poverty has become really what Eisenhower warned about as he was leaving office, about the giant industrial military complex. Well, you know, it's the same to be said about this war on poverty. It's created a huge, not industrial complex, but a huge bureaucracy complex, a government complex. And that means power for those who are in authority. And that's when we talk about limited government and making government smaller, we're not talking about less compassion. We're talking about smarter ways. We got computers. We got this technology that's exploding, and yet we're not figuring out how to best use it to help those in need, help those that need the help, help people get out of poverty and into the middle class. The programs of the liberals are failures. Failures in the fact that they're not lifting people out of poverty. So just leave it like this on LBJ's War on Poverty. Thank you for starting it, LBJ. But you let too many people get their hands in the pie, and it didn't go down to get people in poverty into the middle class. It's created more and more poverty. Now it's time this week for the Unaffordable, Uncaring Act. And we begin with letting you know that there's a lot of people who thought they were covered are finding out they're not recovered. Some paper went wham, bam, it's gone. And they don't know what's happened. So a lot of insurance companies and potential customers who thought they were customers are trying to still reach out and connect. One of the updates, let me give you a personal update from CNN Money. And they talk about this, or they talked about Jim Brumfield. He's 53, real estate appraiser in San Juan Bautista, California. And for 2 decades, he's been buying his own health insurance. It's worked fine. And all of a sudden, he's one of those who got a letter from Blue Cross that said his policy was being terminated. It cost $196 a month. It did not comply with the Affordable Care Act. So what happens? The Affordable Care Act made him lose the policy he had. He went looking for another policy, and he looked, and his insurance agent said they could get the cheapest plan on Covered California, part of the exchange, for about $500 a month. $500 a month, that's $300 more. Is that Affordable Care Act, or is it the Unaffordable Care Act? So he kept looking. He found a catastrophic plan offering at the exchange site, and showed it $364 a month, and still too expensive. So he did find out, if going into 214, if he can show that he's not making enough money, then he could get some subsidies that would get him down about what he's paying. But he's not sure he wants to do that, because he has to make less than $46,000, and then he'd be rooting to make less money so he could get a health plan. Now, is that the American dream, to figure out how to make less money so you can get subsidies to get a health plan that was affordable? But now with the Affordable Care Act, it's unaffordable, and that's why we call it here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, the Unaffordable, Uncaring Act. And more Americans are going to be saying that. Hope you'll get the word out. Don't call it Obamacare. It's the, because Obama and care don't mix. It's not compassionate when you put people out of health insurance, and that's what's happened. And listen, Obama never wrote the law, didn't know what was in it. It was dusted off. It's for Hillary Care. That was from 1992. They updated it. They shot it through the Senate, shot it through the House, and Obama signed it. And it's not It's not something Obama brought along. It's what the far left has been dreaming about since Harry Truman. And they finally got the power in Congress to get it done. They didn't care how many people got thrown out of Congress. There were the Democrats and what happened in the elections of 2010. And hopefully it'll happen more so in 2014 with you and me working to make it happen. But that's the unaffordable, uncaring act update. And we'll get more and more as we go along. But this week we are reactivating our Tombstone of the Week Award. Can you guess what it's about? You probably heard about the ship in Antarctica. Almost 50 passengers, around 50 passengers on the ship, and they got locked in the ice, and we talked about the rescue, and it was hard to rescue. The ship couldn't get to them. They finally had to get a helicopter, but the mainstream media is not telling you what it was about. It was a research team going down there to find out how global warming was messing with the South Pole and the ocean currents down there. And guess what? They almost lost their lives and got frozen in by the researching global warming. Now, is that not something? And this, we've had record lows. It's what they used to call weather. Yes, there's going to be variances. We are spending money, unbelievable amounts of money, in regulations. And this stuff is, it's almost like a religion. There's people who want to believe in it. They want to believe that they're saving Mother Earth when all they're doing is killing jobs in America. Killing jobs in America. And that's why global warming believers who got iced in Antarctica and almost lost their lives, well, I wish you would have a conversion to understanding truth. I don't imagine it. Maybe you need an immersion, like a baptism down in those icy waters. Then maybe you'll see the hoax that some of this data that's been coming out is about. Yes, we got some changes in temperature. Yes, we got some things to look about. And yes, we need some environmental help. But we don't need a drastic decisions on the future of our children, all because of some scientific evidence that has been disproved and the computer models proven to be phony and fraud. And we don't need to base things on fraud. Not science, not health care, not anything. We need to base it on truth and facts, and scientists stand up and let's get this country back on the road. That's why you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Told you, being in California this week some and working with some conservatives, we are going to make this year the year America wakes up and smells the coffee and says it's time to get the far left behind us and get the future before us in a bright and beautiful way. And it won't be. Next week, we're going to continue on. I got some good things planned. We're going to see what comes out of California. I'll tell you about that. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us today. And remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.